Didn't miss anything. Ooh. Little loud. There we go. Okay. I like to pray before I start. Heavenly Father, I just ask your blessing on this time. Just help me to just express the heart that I have, the heart of appreciation I have for what you've given and what we have here, Lord. Just ask your to just give insight and just an appreciation into the heart of your people here. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm still kind of getting a feedback, just kind of an echo in my ears. I usually don't need a mic. Don? Okay. I know. I'm just saying that my voice carries, but as long as you can just get it to where it'll carry over there. I have seen what the Holy Spirit's been doing here lately, and I was really praying about that, and I wanted to look and see, okay, Lord, you keep telling us you want us to come to you with our hurts. I mean, that's been kind of a resounding thing. And so I did something I normally don't do, for those who know me. I went online and looked on a Christian website. What do Christians struggle with? I looked at multiple websites. And when I saw what they were saying, it really disturbed me. And it really made me appreciate what we have. Amen. Amen. There are churches around the world. I don't know what all of them are doing, because this is my home. Just like in the natural, I don't know what the people in the houses next to me are doing all the time, because I'm living in mine. But when I saw what some of the people were saying, what they were struggling with, I really, really am glad that I got saved in the ministry I did. It's been 40 years now. There are some people here that don't know some of our history. I'm going to give it briefly because many others already do know it. In Anchorage, Alaska, a man named Dick Benjamin had a church that he started, I can't even remember all the figures, back in the 50s, I think, 59. Well, in 1974, when I was in the service there, I was a glue head. I was stuck on sniffing glue, addicted to it. I was becoming a drunk, 19 years of age, and my roommate was one of the pushers in the company. not an ideal setup. So as I got high, I would read the books that his Christian grandfather sent. And we would talk about God. We'd talk about everything under the sun. And he mentioned, yeah, I heard there's a church up here where miracles happen. I thought, I would like to see that. And I ended up going there one night instead of getting drunk. That's a whole different story, but I got saved that night. 800 people in the church. They snagged me, got me to a Bible study right away at a man named Ed Abernathy's house. Short while after that, Ed was ordained as a pastor of a downtown church in Anchorage. Well, I already had a relationship, so it was, well, I'm going with him. And whenever I had a chance, I went out to the other church. But these two men influenced me, influenced Kirk and Ruth. We've known each other for 40 years now. That just seems like a long time. Where did those years go? But there's something that they did that enabled me, who had such a wonderful character before I got saved, to be able to make it through life for 40 years and still be here serving God. They left a deposit in us. We trust we're leaving a deposit in you. And I trust you're going to leave a deposit in the lives of your children and the next generation. Good. Known Gordon for 40 years. He was up there in Anchorage. He was on the Army post. Doesn't seem like that long, but some ways it's like, wow, 40. Well, these two men, Ed Abernathy and Dick Benjamin, had some qualities in them. They loved and saturated themselves in the Word of God, and they tried to live it in the best way they could. Were they perfect? I don't know. With Dick, I never saw anything that I could fault him with. I'm sure he had some flaws because he's human. But just his character and the Word of God in his life being lived out and being promoted and established in my heart and the lives of others did something that put boundaries and rods and strength into my life. Oh, my life has not been perfect. There are many Christians who have had a steady climb. I've been kind of up and then down this far and then up and then down this far and then sometimes down to here. But the thing that they established in my life was something that I would only fall so far, and I knew I could not go further than that because the Word of God said, I need to deal with this. I need to set my heart back, get up, face him, ask for forgiveness, receive his grace, receive his instruction, search the Word of God, and I could move on. But that's a legacy. That's a heritage they gave me because I saw it lived out in their lives. We're trying to instill the same principles, because those principles haven't changed. We've adjusted in some ways because God continues to unfold little areas of truth and you make some adjustments. This church has gone through ups, downs, good times, bad times, ugly times. But the things that we learned that have helped us go through is you need to know how to deal with a situation. You go to the Word. And you do what it says, even when you don't feel like it. How many people here hate confrontation? What do you do if a brother offends you? Oh, Scripture says you go to him. What if you've offended them? You go to them. So you're going either way. But a lot of people will avoid principles like that. They'll say, oh, I tried that once and it never worked. It just blew up. You know what? You just do what God said, no matter what your past experience has been, whether they blow up at you or not. You, if you go in the right heart and do God's word the way he said to, you will have fulfilled his purpose for your heart and your life. But that's not always taught. Because some of the stuff that I saw on that online site, a lot of it was stuff like, I love God, but I hate the people in the church. That's bad. And it wasn't a non-Christian website. These people, again, I don't know what their relationship really is, whether they're nominal by name or whether they're truly born again. But they're posting all these comments. One thing disturbed me, some of them even use the F-bomb in making their comment. I understand we're people that are being saved. Some people have sworn all their life they get saved. They got to make some adjustments. They're working through it. That's fine. But it bothers me a little bit because I've had words slip out. And I shared that story. When that bullet went by my head, because we got in front of the live fire exercise and the branch next to me went, ka-ping! Something slipped out of my mouth. And the arch enemy of the barracks was right next to me. He goes, I didn't hear that, Sergeant, sorry. I said, yes, you did. I repent of it. I said, it just came out because I got scared. And I said, you did hear it. I did say it. And but to deliberately be taking time to type the word out shows me a lack of character. Because even I, as a young Christian, learned that this is not good. I want to take a look in Hebrews 13:7. I'm reading this from the Amplified. It says, remember your leaders and superiors in authority, for it was they who brought to you the word of God. Observe attentively and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives, and imitate their faith, their conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ, and their leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. He says, pay attention to the leadership's lifestyle. That's the thing that helped impress me and caused me to be able to be where I'm at today is because I saw how they lived it and I saw how they loved the Word of God. They didn't just have some type of little thing to just bring up scriptures whenever he wanted. The Word of God was in their heart. In fact, I lived with the Abernathys, so did Karen. There was some single girls living upstairs with daughters, and another brother and I had a bedroom downstairs. And Sunday afternoons after church, they always had somebody over for dinner. I got extra lessons because I'd be downstairs after dinner trying to just leave them alone with their company so I wouldn't be like a third wheel or something. You know. Ed, inadvertently, any time you got together with him was preaching. He was preaching, and we'd hear him downstairs. I'd be going up a few steps, sitting there. Finally, I'm at the top step just listening to what he's sharing because he constantly had the Word of God just bubbling over out of him. And so that gave me something. I saw the reality of it. It wasn't just a Sunday game. It was a real thing that consumed his life. Dick Benjamin the same way. And it says, take a look at their lives. That means take a look at Kirk's life, Paul's life, Ted's life, mine, and take a look at yours too. Because you're setting an example as well to others around you. And I wasn't in leadership when those deposits came into my heart and into my life. I was just a young Christian, but it was wonderful. And I haven't had to go through all those things that I saw those people commenting on. on hating people in the church. I have gotten wounded. I've gotten wounded, but you know what? The scriptures tell me how to deal with it and get over it. I don't think I've ever, when people talk about carrying a grudge, I don't really know what that means. Because scripture tells me how to deal with it, so I haven't harbored anything. Plus, one working brain cell, you don't remember stuff. So it's great. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey your spiritual leaders, submit to them. And I'm not preaching on submission, that type of thing. Recognizing their authority over you, for they're constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who will have to render an account of their trust. Do your part to let them do this with gladness, not with sighing and groaning, for that would not be profitable to you. That word obey, its definition means to be fully persuaded. How hard is it to be fully persuaded in somebody that's doing stupid things? I'll name some stupid stuff that's coming up. I heard this one. I found it hard to believe. But there's stuff going around now where they're doing, is it called soul sucking? What is that? Well, going to the grave of, let's say, Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber that God called into the ministry. He's the one that God told him to go over to this house, and there's a dead guy there. The guy's laying on the bed, and he picks the body up, holds it against the wall, and he goes, live! And the body goes, he didn't go, oh, man. He picked the body back up and he said, I said, live! And the guy did. Oh, I'm going to go lay on his grave. Just like in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 13:20, I believe it is, where they were carrying this dead guy to bury him and the Moabites came. They were, oh, there's a sepulcher. Let's lower him down in there. It was Elisha's. And when he went down, he hit those bones, and that dead guy came back to life. Well, so these soul suckers are going, laying on graves of anointed men who have died, trying to get their anointing. There's something crazy about that. I could not be fully persuaded in somebody who believed garbage like that. Back, well, let's see, we moved here in 70, that must have been 78. Pigs in the Parlor was a popular book about Christians being demon-possessed. Oh, my goodness. Scripture gives you a simple answer. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. How can a demon come and push Jesus off the throne of your heart? But they were doing it. They were casting out all kinds of demons. I mean, anything under the sun that you had that was probably a work of the flesh, they were calling a demon and trying to cast it out. We've seen a lot of stuff, but you know what? That stuff hasn't moved or shaken us because somebody gave us an inheritance in the Word of God, gave us a heritage. And I think sometimes, maybe like, even like me, because this has been my house, this has been my life, I know there's weird stuff out there, but even that soul sucking one was a new one to me. It was like, oh my goodness. Because I don't pay attention to that stuff. Why? Because I'm concerned about being in the truth. And if that stuff comes my way, if I know enough of the truth, I can just say, out of here with that stuff. That's what we're trying to lay in your lives when we're ministering the word. And I don't know if everybody always sees it or appreciates what we have here. I'm not tooting our horn. The things we have been passed down from somebody else. But what they've passed down with it is a heart that says, check out what we're saying in the Word of God, because you need to validate it. You need to be assured of it. You need to grab a hold of it in your own hearts. Do I trust everything that Kirk says? Yeah, I trust him by double checking the Word of God. I do that with Dick Benjamin. I do it with everybody. Why? Because that's what I've been taught. Just compare it with the Word of God. If it compares with the Word of God, amen. If it doesn't, I need to go home and search some stuff out. I'll get back with you. Because I want to search it out. That's a deposit they gave me. That's a deposit I want to leave in your hearts. What Kirk wants to leave in your hearts is to get into the Word of God, to allow it to be your stronghold. I'll just quote this one for your notes, 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, but as for you, continue to hold the things you've learned and are convinced, knowing from whom you learned them. So is that an important aspect? Knowing of whom you've learned them. You can hear a lot of things on radio, on TV, and it's great. But you still need to compare it to the Word of God. But it's tremendous when you know who is telling you what, because you see how they're living their life with it. I think that's part of the reason God puts us in families, so we can see the relationship working, rather than just staying at home saying, I love God, but I hate the people in the church. That blew me away. Because there are several comments along those lines. It wasn't just one individual. Looking at time here. Paul told him in the book of Acts, he said, you know, in Acts 20, he said, you know what manner of I have been with you at all seasons. He said, you've seen me. He see, serving the Lord with humility of mind. He didn't have a proud button saying, see how humble I am. He was just saying, I served you with humility and with many tears and temptations. He says, you saw me go through that stuff. It does have an influence along with the Word of God. Don't let just the charismatic personality of an individual carry you along. But it does have a tremendous effect on us when it's done properly. Is this church perfect? No, because we're in it. All of us. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, follow all my shortcomings. We want to minimize shortcomings in our lives because we're desiring to grow in our relationship just as you are. But if you're looking for a perfect church, you'll never find it right now. And if somebody's visiting here today, I don't know everybody, where you're from, what you're doing. We're not trying to just say we're the best church. All I know is this is my family. I want to have a good family relationship. I want to have good, solid truths applied and lived here. And I pray that for your churches as well. But I know there are many places that are struggling, that do not have some of the truths that we have preached and applied, even the simple ones. It's a grief. It's something that we need to pray about. But at the same time, I believe I can appreciate what those men of God above me have deposited. One other thing I saw on the website there that really bothered me was they're talking about worship. I am not really a demonstrative person. Bill Powell is a demonstrative person. I mean, he just expressed himself before God, before people. I'm much more, I'm a Finn. Finns tend to be more stoic. They were talking about worship, and one guy said, my girlfriend, we get in church, she worships, she just raises her arms. He said, I don't know what she's doing. He said, but it makes me nauseous. Because I think she's just imagining things in her head to work. I thought, you are dead inside. Because even I, who am not real demonstrative, when I come into the presence of God, it's a wonder my shirt isn't wet at the collar, because when I come into the presence of God, I just start weeping. I don't know why. It just feels good to be there. Am I imagining it? Well, if I am, it's a pretty real imagination. And let me keep having it, Lord. Because I know what he's done in my life. We sang a song there, thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And that's part of what I'm saying today. We need to be thanking him for what he's done in leaving a deposit of his truth in our lives that causes us to have people desiring to be used in spiritual gifts, to have people that are working at their relationships rather than going, what that guy said really offended me. I am leaving this church. Oh, I know there's probably some stuff here. But I'll tell you what, if you can be on one side of the church because you don't want to be over on this side next to so-and-so, you've got an issue that you need to deal with, that can be dealt with and can be resolved. Because God's word said so. And so we teach that. It's not always popular, because like I said, how many people are confrontational? There are a lot of people who said, yeah, that's me. Well, you know what? If you have an issue, God is wanting to move you out of your comfort zone. And we will continue promoting that because it's the only answer we have. I can't give you human reasoning. Another thing they really struggled with was the fact that there were no young people in their church. They were dying out. I've seen young people grow up. I've seen Rachel and her sisters grow up in the church. Now I'm seeing her daughters grow up in the church. I'm seeing other young people. So just to give you a glimpse into two of them, Rachel, I'm picking on you. I can do that because I've got the mic. We babysat them at different times. My wife and I lived in an efficiency apartment when we first got married. The only door to close was the bathroom door. And so they're staying over. Kirk's gone, so I'm studying. The only place I can go study is put the lid down, carry a TV tray, and have my books on it so I can have a little quiet while Cindy's playing with the girls. Well, so one of those times, Cindy took Rachel with her to the laundromat. She was about two, and there was a very large lady down the way, bent over. Now, Rachel was a very inquisitive young lady. And she was very alert. As she got older, if you walked in and you had a new pair of shoes on, she'd go, "Oh, Cindy, sorry, you got new shoes." She noticed things. Well, she noticed something over here. And so Cindy was busy, and next thing she knows, she looks up, and there's Rachel. Like, is that for real? And there's Cindy going over here. And then Jeremy Gonzalez, is he in here? No, okay. Jeremy in the Christian school, my wife worked as a monitor in there. Jeremy was always a bigger boy. And my wife is helping with lunchtime, and the kids are supposed to be quiet in there. And the other supervisors all of a sudden hear this, "Mrs. Sorry, Mrs. Sorry, Mrs. Sorry, Mrs. Sorry." Because my wife decided, I think Jeremy needs to be taken down a little peg. She said, "Jeremy, you want to arm wrestle me?" She won. Yes. Now, she can't do it today. So I don't know if he's ever lived that out, worked that out of his system. But you know what? We have young people. We have gray-haired people. We have no-haired people. Why? I think it's because of the heritage that we've been given, because we desire to minister to the people of around us, to the people of God. We desire to touch the lives of the little ones because Jesus loved them. And I praise God there's people in this room that have a greater love for children. My wife loves children. She just laughs at the silliest things that they do. Again, I'm more stoic. I don't know if my grandkids are calling me grumpy or grampy. I just have a harder time relating to kids. I don't know why. But I'm glad there are people here that do relate to them. Why? Because the church needs to keep moving forward. And I think that is part of our heritage. Because when I walked in that church that I got saved in that night, there's 800 people. And to my eyes, three-quarters of them were between the ages of 18 to 24 on a Thursday night. And I thought, what are they doing here instead of being out getting drunk like I was going to? That was my thought. They could be out having fun. Yeah. I found a difference that night. And a deposit has been laid. I'm going to leave you with one verse, one portion, 2 Timothy 2. Because this is really to all of us. Timothy, Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, "So you, my son," this is from the Amplified, "be strong. Strengthen inwardly in the grace, the spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. And the instructions which you have heard from me along with many witnesses, transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also." That's where your part comes in, being faithful recipients of the Word of God, living it out in your lives, and passing it on to others. "Take with me your share of the hardships and suffering which you are called to endure as a good first-class soldier of Christ Jesus." That's part of it too. "No soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who enlisted him. If anyone enters competitive games, he's not crowned unless he competes lawfully, fairly, according to the rules laid down. It's a hard-working farmer who labors to produce who must be the first partaker of the fruits. Think over these things I am saying. Understand them and grasp their application, for the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything." Embrace what God has given us. Continue to embrace the Word of God. Continue to hold the leadership accountable. Continue to search the Word of God. When you question something that's said, look it up. Come and talk to somebody. Say, hey, you said this, but I find this. We'll be glad to share an answer. And the thing that we want to always do is make sure that the answer is biblically based, not just, well, this is the reasoning that we use, and that stuff doesn't cut it with me. And I believe that we have a pastor, a couple pastors, no, three pastors, that have a heart for that. So let God continue working in you. Search the Word of God out, that you might have a deposit to leave in the lives of those around you. Amen. Stand with me, please. I'll pray. If you have any needs you want prayer for, you can come on up and we'll pray with you. Otherwise, I trust you have a blessed day and time of refreshing the rest of the day, ready for the work week. Heavenly Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to continue just to impart and strengthen and cause all of us to change into your image. Cause your word to just continue just to grow as a fire within our hearts, that we would hunger for it in a greater capacity, that we would grab hold of the things that are being taught, that we would be able to instruct others and continue to pass down what's been given to us, Father. We thank you for what you've given us. Lord, I thank you personally that you called me to this ministry, that I got saved in this ministry, because the truths that you've given have changed me. And I trust will continue to change me until I become like you. In Jesus' name, amen.